Frogtopia presents The Five from Glass Hammer. Greetings, Frogtopians. Welcome to this episode of the new format of Frogtopia, which we call The Five From. This is not an interview program, as you are used to in the past from Frogtopia. So if you're just jumping in, this is only the second one of these that we've done. Let me explain the format and kind of the rules of the road, as it were. Okay. I thought, let's make it a little challenging for me whenever you have a band with a big discography. If I were to only choose five songs that I thought best represent the band to someone maybe who never heard of them or wasn't that familiar with them, maybe heard one or two songs, what would I put out there to try to hook this person on this band that I enjoy? Now, I don't necessarily say these are my five favorite songs, although sometimes favorite and the choices here for the five from do overlap. But what songs represent kind of the entire oeuvre of the band? So the other rules that apply to this are there has to be at least five albums in the band's repertoire. The songs that I pick can't be over 10 minutes. And with a band like this one, it's a little bit difficult because they have several, but you know prog bands, they like to go on for a while, and we love them for it. And also, I have to kind of explain why I chose those songs, okay? And hopefully by the end of this, if you're not a fan of the band already, you will be, or at least you'll be inclined to explore them further. So with that in mind, I have chosen for the second installment of The Five From to highlight a band from my country, the United States, not too far from me, about maybe 8 hours, 9 hours down the road from where I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is not a place that you think prog rock really lives. But I tell you what, Glass Hammer has been doing it for 25 years or so. And the Tony Banks and Mike Rutherford of Glass Hammer, for lack of a better term, are Fred Schendel and Steve Babb. They even play those instruments, the keyboards and the bass. Fred and Steve have piloted Glass Hammer through all of its many incarnations. There have been many singers, many other instrumentalists, many backup people that have been involved, many iterations of how the band defines its sound over these years, as you might expect from a band that's been at it for the better part of three decades. So Glass Hammer, a lot of people will simply write them off as, oh, they're just a Yes clone or a Genesis clone. And let me say, if you're one of those people who's done that, I'm just going to call you lazy because they are not that at all. But wait a minute. John Davison is the current singer of Yes, and John Davison was in Glass Hammer, wasn't he? Yes, he was. Very good. Gold star for the day. However, if you think that all they've been doing for these 25 years is copying what Yes or Genesis or any of the other 70s prog bands did, then you're really missing out, or you're really not hearing what they're doing, because they are quite an original band while showing their influences very prominently in some cases. But you really have to dig into the discography to really hear all the faces of Glass Hammer. And that's what we're going to try to do with this episode. So please come with me for The Five from Glass Hammer.
Some say that God's not talking, but with people running everywhere, who is actually listening? Does anyone care? Tell me, are we really that unaware? Street smart shopping cart rollers in the city, beggars picking food out of the trash, bathing in gutters. Life goes by when you forget you're one alibi.
So I came to Glass Hammer early on when they were a fairly young and new band. In 1996, my brother and I attended a festival in the Baltimore area called Progscape. It only happened 1 year, which is too bad because the lineup was really good. In addition to Glass Hammer being on the bill, let's just throw out their Porcupine Tree before they became really big. They were one of the headliners on the show. So I got to see Steven Wilson before he was Steven Wilson. But anyway, Glass Hammer's Paralandra album was the new release at that time. It was their second album. And my brother picked it up, and we both listened to it, I remember, and we both enjoyed it. And I just kind of lost touch with the band, I guess, for a little while after that, although it didn't take me too long to realize, oh, yeah, they're still out there and they're still doing good stuff. But I'll go back to Paralandra for the first of the five. Now, the album is sort of loosely based on C.S. Lewis tales, whereas Glass Hammer is known for Tolkien and some of their other works. This one was C.S. Lewis and that sort of fantasy kind of thing. Now, I've noticed this song that I'm going to use, whenever you see reviews of Paralandra or, you know, anything on Prog Archives, especially about it, they don't give this title correctly. It is not Illusion, it's Liusion. L-L-I-U-S-I-O-N. Okay, let's get it straight. It's almost 10 minutes, but it's underneath it, so I can include it here. The first of the five from Paralandra, Liusion. Thank you. I think I'll jump around in the discography a little bit, so forgive me for leaping over some very good albums for the moment. I might get back to a few of them here, but I want to address the whole, John Davison, the current singer of Yes, was a member of Glass Hammer as well. And yes, golly, John Davison does sound a lot like John Anderson, the main voice from Yes. That doesn't mean that Glass Hammer should be simply labeled a Yes clone band, because John Davison was not a member for very long, although the albums that he is on, they're universally great, so you can't go wrong with any of them. But I would only choose one track from any of those albums, and some of them are over the 10-minute limit. So I decided to go with the album Perilous. It should also be pointed out that Perilous came out in 2012, which was the year that John Davison joined Yes. So that was a year that a lot of attention was starting to get focused on Glass Hammer, and rightfully so. Perilous is a concept album of a loose sort. They don't really get into the details of the concept from what I can glean. But basically, if you look at the cover of the album, it's almost like they invite you to walk through a gate. You can interpret what lies beyond for yourself. The story is going to be different for pretty much everyone who listens to it. So rather than influence you with what I think the story is about, I'll just give you what I think is probably the standout track for me as far as sounding like that Yes sound that a lot of people seem to enjoy. And also a part of the song that really stands out to me is the choral arrangement at the end of this. It's just beautiful. So without further ado, the second of the five from Glass Hammer on this episode of Progtopia, We Slept, We Dreamed.
Thank you.
Okay, now moving backwards just a bit more, we're going to go to the album that seems to get kind of a love-hate even among Glass Hammer fans. I'm firmly in the love camp with this one, though. It's the album Three Cheers for the Brokenhearted. And this has Susie Bogdanowicz on vocals throughout this, along with the ubiquitous Bab and Schendel. You could call this more of a venture into the, I don't want to say pop prog, but certainly a more accessible sound. The songs are of universally accessible lengths, and some of them are things that you could hear on the radio, which is not something you could say about a lot of Glass Hammer music. And that's what we love about it, right? But if I was going to pick a song off of this one to really showcase what Glass Hammer can do as far as a hook and like the song length, like a 4-minute length that a lot of radio stations prefer, I'm going to go with the track for the third of the five. That is the fourth track on the album, actually. It's called Sleep On.
Sadly, they have the bitter.
So I'm going to interrupt my ramblings at this point for a brief message, one of two that I'll put in this episode, from Steve Babb himself. Take it away, Steve.
Hi, this is Steve Babb from Glasshammer, and you're listening to Progtopia. A great way to show your support for the band is to head to glasshammer.com, where you can grab albums, books, DVDs, t-shirts, and digital downloads. Our brand new album, Dreaming City, is available as a digipack or as a high-res download. We also offer CD quality downloads or MP3s. Head to glasshammer.com today.
Okay, well, Steve, then let's go current. How about that? Let's do something from the most recent new Glasshammer album, and that is Dreaming City, as he said. Brand new from this year. Coronavirus isn't going to keep Glasshammer down. So this is another one of Glasshammer's conceptual releases. Very hard driving in a lot of places. It has its ballads and that sort of thing too. But this is what I would consider a very Glasshammer-y album. Maybe one of the Glasshammeriest albums. So not just because it's a new album, but I think it's a really good one. It's one of my favorites from their catalog, to be honest. So one of the songs that's toward the end is the one that I'm going to highlight as the fourth of the five here. This song is called The Key.
Thank you.
Okay, lastly, I'm going to, in one way, go back, but in another way, stay in the present. And I'll tell you why. Okay, as I said before, Tolkien is something of a touchstone for Glasshammer, just fantasy in general. But they've gone to the Tolkien Middle-Earth realm a couple of times, their debut album, and with the album from 2001 called the Middle-Earth album. What I love about this album, not just the Tolkien and the fantasy aspect, because I am a Lord of the Rings fan, although not nearly as into it as these guys are, but what I love about the first half of the Middle-Earth album is that it's set up like it's a gig at some sort of, you know, Middle-Earth bar, you know, whatever you want to call it. The attention to detail that they give with just the background of the people talking and the ambiance of the room, it's so good. It's just got this level of detail that you don't often hear in something like that. Just you pick out all these little things here and there if you're listening on headphones, and some of them are really, really funny. So the standout track that I think should be paid attention to here is The Ballad of Balin Longbeard, and that is going to be the fifth of the five in my Glasshammer retrospective.
We appreciate you. We got to go. All right. You've heard about Balin Longbeard, and you've heard about how he captured the goblin's beard. And you've even heard the tale of Balin's unsuccessful quest for the dwarven crown. But we've got one more for you. Something about Balin and the dragon, perhaps? Ballad of Balin Longbeard.
It's a tale, will be a tale, about the dwarven lord of old. He thinks his name is Balin. He sat upon a mound of gold, and there he grew so very old. His beard so big and dead and warm and well when he was ailing. Silly, like one tiny single gem. A pearl he wanted for his hold would be the death of him. He dreamed of pearls both night and day. He vowed that he would have his way. A fountain he would find for it, and no ocean he would swim. There lived a tired and ancient dragon. His wings were broke, his fire was bent, his eyes they were a sagging. But he was known throughout the land for in his heart and skin. He clutched the pearl of great renown and Balin this was nagging. One day to find no Balin came a calling. So old they were, they tried to fight, but couldn't keep from falling. The dragon fell upon his sword while Balin tried to reach the heart. He tripped upon his beard so great and thrust beneath the dragon's weight. He peered without his breath was broke, for death you can't be stalling.
That's so fun. How can I get my hands on this, you say? Well, I'll let Steve tell you once again how you can get the Middle Earth album and a lot of other cool stuff besides for one very, very good price.
Hi, this is Steve Babb from Glass Hammer, and I wanted to tell you about the brand new Ultimate Middle Earth download, only available at glasshammer.com. It includes the original Journey of the Dunedain, the Middle Earth album, the making of a Glass Hammer adventure, and the brand new Journey Suite. There's over 2 gigabytes of files in this download, and the running time is well over 3 hours. And it's only available at glasshammer.com.
That will do it for our 5 from Glass Hammer. They're an American band. They've been carrying the torch for our country here in the midst of a lot of European and other bands around the world. Sometimes American prog can get overlooked, even in America. So I'm glad Glass Hammer has kept at it with regular output for all of these years. Plenty of albums for you to buy. Plenty of them. So I didn't even touch on albums like Lex Rex or Chromanaut, one of the other new ones, Ode to Echo. So many good things out there. You're going to find something that you like. So once again, thanks to Steve for contributing to the show. And yes, please go to glasshammer.com and check out everything that they've got on offer. I promise it's all good no matter what you get. As for Progtopia, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Progtopia. That's easy enough. All the archival episodes, including one featuring an interview with Steve and Fred from Glass Hammer. That's episode 101. If you want to go back to progtopia.com and go to the archival episodes tab, you can find that there. Now, what's coming next for the show? I think we'll go Down Under for one of my other favorite bands that I've had on the show numerous times, and that would be from Perth, Australia, Voyager. Back to the prog metal side of things, plenty of pop involved with Voyager too, so lots to like on that one, I hope. So if you're a Voyager fan, please check it out. If you're not, please check it out as well. You're going to like them, I promise. Okay, a little more Glass Hammer to play us out. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time in a land called Progtopia.